A professor stands before a room of MBA students at NYU's Stern School of Business. These are people trained to calculate risk, optimize outcomes, and maximize returns. Yet as he speaks, laptops close, phones go dark, some cry openly. What could possibly move a room full of aspiring capitalists to tears? Not a lecture on market efficiency or portfolio theory, but something far more fundamental. The actual equations that govern whether our lives feel meaningful or empty. The paradox is striking. We spend years mastering calculus, statistics, and financial modeling, yet stumble through life's most consequential decisions, who to marry, when to have children, how to define success, with no framework at all. We treat these choices as matters of pure emotion or luck, when in reality, they follow patterns as predictable as compound interest. The difference is that life's equations involve variables we've been taught to ignore: love, presence, generosity, and the uncomfortable reality that we're all going to die. Here's what nobody mentions at graduation. Your life will unfold in three distinct phases, each with its own emotional signature. The first act, from childhood through your early 20s, feels like pure magic. Every experience is new. Every possibility seems open. You fall in love for the first time, discover ideas that reshape your worldview, and genuinely believe you might be the exception to every rule. The world appears as an open canvas, and you're holding the brush. Then comes the collision with reality, typically lasting from your mid-20s through your mid-40s. This middle act is where most people, currently reading this, find themselves, and it's brutal. Career pressures mount, relationships require constant negotiation, you watch some peers seemingly rocket ahead while others fall behind, triggering a toxic mixture of envy and anxiety. The mortgage comes due, aging parents need care, friends face serious illness, dreams require adjustment or abandonment. Each morning brings another reminder that you're probably not going to be extraordinary, and each evening you collapse into bed wondering if you're doing enough. But then, and this is the part that makes the middle stretch bearable, something shifts. Usually in your 50s, though sometimes earlier if life has forced you to confront mortality, you begin noticing beauty everywhere. Your children's laughter becomes a symphony. A quiet morning with coffee feels like a gift. The changing seasons move you in ways they never did before. You stop comparing your life to others' highlight reels and start appreciating what you've built. The anxiety that characterized your 30s and 40s fades, replaced by something deeper: gratitude for simply being here. Research confirms this pattern across cultures. Happiness follows a U-curve, bottoming out in midlife before rising again. People in their 60s and 70s consistently report higher life satisfaction than those in their 30s and 40s. If you're currently in that stressful middle phase, take comfort. This is normal, temporary, and actually predictable. What separates the exceptional from the merely successful? Not talent or hard work alone. The real differentiator is hunger, that relentless drive to prove yourself, often rooted in deep insecurity or early hardship. Watching your single mother struggle financially, feeling invisible in high school. These experiences create a fire that no amount of success fully extinguishes. But hunger without strategy leads nowhere. The conventional advice to follow your passion is backwards. Excellence breeds passion, not the reverse. When you become exceptionally good at something, the resulting recognition and mastery naturally generate enthusiasm. The guitarist practicing 8 hours daily isn't following pre-existing passion. They're creating it through visible improvement and external validation. Success demands mastering unsexy fundamentals most people overlook. Show up early, respond to emails within hours, follow up systematically. These behaviors seem trivial but compound dramatically over time, either accelerating your trajectory or gradually flattening it. Geography and credentials matter more than effort. Your earnings potential is largely determined by where you live and what degrees you hold. Secure these advantages while young, before family commitments make relocation difficult. Real wealth requires ownership, property, stocks, equity compensation, not just salary. Build passive income streams that exceed your expenses. 76% of Fortune 500 CEOs exercise at least 3 times weekly. Physical confidence translates into boardroom presence, creating subtle but powerful psychological advantage. Business school students obsess over career paths while barely considering their most consequential decision, choosing a life partner. This choice affects daily happiness, fulfillment, financial security, and longevity. Strong partnerships align on 3 dimensions: physical attraction, values, and money. Physical chemistry matters. While sex represents only 10% of a good relationship, it becomes 90% of a bad one when lacking. Values alignment encompasses religious beliefs, parenting philosophies, family proximity, and career sacrifice willingness. Money requires agreement on spending, savings, risk tolerance, and lifestyle expectations. Most young people focus exclusively on attraction, neglecting dimensions that actually predict compatibility. Successful marriages operate on generosity, not reciprocity. Give freely without expecting immediate return. Practice forgiveness. Small acts matter. Keep energy bars in your bag, maintain comfortable temperatures, anticipate needs before they're voiced. Express affection frequently. The economics are substantial. Married couples accumulate wealth at 14% annually, reaching 3 times singles' assets by their 50s. Divorce typically reduces wealth by 50% or more, making till death do us part both emotional and financial wisdom. True love demands willingness to reconfigure your life, relocating for their career, adjusting schedules, reshaping social circles. When you truly love someone, activities you'd normally hate become mere inconveniences. Research shows the happiest people are in monogamous relationships with children, a finding that contradicts narratives about kids' decreasing happiness, but aligns with studies on long-term fulfillment. Physical affection creates bonds that transcend daily chaos. From boyhood, men are conditioned to see affection as either sexual or homosexual, robbing them of vital means of expressing friendship and love. Touch activates the brain's orbitofrontal cortex, linked to reward and compassion, signaling safety and trust. Reclaiming affection, especially with sons through kissing and handholding, creates enduring connections. When my youngest struggles to sleep, I meditate with him, running my finger down his face until he drifts off. When he wakes, he flops his limbs over me and returns to slumber. In those moments, everything makes sense. I'm strong, timeless, immortal, chosen by my child for qualities unrelated to material worth. This is my heaven. The pull of coming home keeps you young, focusing you on your better self. Our biology is optimized for movement and community, not sedentary isolation. The trinity of longevity comprises genetic predisposition, 30%, lifestyle choices, 40%, and social connections, 30%. People with strong social bonds have 50% higher survival rates than isolated individuals. As we age, unexpected health events challenge our mortality calculations. While maintaining responsibilities remains crucial, occasional spontaneity, missing a flight for a sunset, extending a vacation despite deadlines, can enrich life's texture. Caregiving powerfully predicts longevity. Despite increased stress, caregivers live 7 to 9 years longer than peers. The number of people under one's care correlates directly with lifespan. We're wired not just for survival, but for service, and our bodies reward us accordingly. Everyone experiences failure, job loss, bereavement, economic stress, health challenges, relationship breakdowns. Success comes not from avoiding setbacks, but from processing and moving forward. Market dynamics often outweigh individual performance. The 2008 crisis, COVID-19, and technological disruptions show how external forces derail even competent professionals. Your successes and failures aren't entirely your fault. We compare ourselves to the most successful in our circle and feel disappointed. Forgiveness of yourself and others is essential. 70% of Americans experience imposter syndrome, including successful executives and acclaimed artists. I frequently worry I'm just a secretary's son who did poorly in school. but I'm learning to quiet these thoughts, recognizing the genuine hard work shaping my journey. My life has been defined by rejection and determination. I lost 3 class president elections, got rejected from UCLA initially, received 1 job offer after 50 applications, and was rejected from most MBA programs. Most of my 9 startups failed. Yet this willingness to endure rejection has been tremendously rewarding. Nothing wonderful happens without risking failure. Train yourself to take small risks daily. Each rejection builds resilience and brings you closer to breakthrough success. One investment consistently guarantees returns. Unconditional love. Loving someone completely without expecting anything in return. This represents the pinnacle of human emotional evolution. The universe naturally gravitates toward prosperity. Markets rise, generations grow healthier, technology advances, rewarding beneficial actions. Unconditional love may be our species' most important act of progress, rewarded with the deepest meaning and well-being we can experience. Research confirms that people with strong, loving relationships live longer, happier lives. As an atheist, I view our finite existence as a profound blessing. Recognizing life ends focuses us on what matters: loving deeply, forgiving freely, pursuing meaningful connections. When my time comes, I want my wife and sons beside me. I'll have reached heaven early through the relationships I've built. I've observed a fascinating arc. Aspirants are generally humble. The near successful over-index on asshole behavior due to insecurity. Truly successful people are usually kinder, having nothing left to prove. As I age, I find it easier and more fulfilling to praise others. Nobody ever says at a funeral, "He was too generous, too kind, too loving." These are precisely the qualities people remember: moments of connection, acts of kindness, love shared without expectation. The equation is simple. The more we reduce self-interest and increase our capacity for love, the greater meaning we find. In the end, relationships are all that matters. Beyond raising children, the proudest achievement might be giving someone you love a good death, spending months managing their healthcare, providing comfort at life's end. What makes us truly human isn't opposable thumbs, but our ability to care for children who aren't biologically ours. The fastest path to a better world isn't economic growth, but more people becoming irrationally passionate about the well-being of a child who isn't their own. The algebra of happiness requires constant recalculation as life changes. Success comes from hunger and hard work. Partnership requires alignment on attraction, values, and money. Family provides meaning through presence and affection. Health demands movement and connection. And meaning results from love divided by self-interest. When we solve these equations correctly, we create a legacy built on relationships that endure beyond our time. The math is simple. The execution is everything.